Doctor Who, was it good? Or was it just full of flying bed sheets that were trying to kill people?
You're a towel.
Keith didn't listen to the podcast last week, so we're talking about Venom. And Iron Fist and Luke Cage have been cancelled. Iron Fist has now got a job in an accounting firm, and Luke Cage is a bouncer at my local cinema. And then we finish on a nerd fight.
Nerd fight! Nerd fight!
Ding, ding, ding! Round three! Nerd fight.
Nerd fight.
Stay tuned. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geezers, geeks, Time Lords, Time Ladies, Clintarians, people who should be fired, and out-of-work superheroes. It's this week's Monkey Nut Branch podcast.
Yay!
And, as always on my podcasting journeys, I've got Nigel. Say hello, Nigel.
Hello, everyone.
And, according to the victory rules of Mortal Kombat for the first time this year...
Oh, God.
It's Keith!
So I'm sorry, I wish to take a differ with your introduction to Nigel. He's not always with you, because sometimes the fucker goes and buys cars.
You make it sound like it's every week I'm buying a car.
I'll be honest with you, I pretty much see him every week, so he is my stalwart.
You poor bastard.
I invite him round. Oh, that's...
Makes
that's,
me feel loves.
That's the problem. Now I get it. Oh, thanks.
You see, this is why the podcast goes to shit.
Yes.
This is why Keith turns up.
Yes, Keith turns up. Okay. All right, so we want to talk about Doctor Who. And we're going to talk about the Venom film very quickly, because last
very
week...
Very smallly.
Shut up. I made a mistake. Okay.
It is never going to be very smallly when Keith's involved.
Yes, true.
Let's be fair.
Yes.
But it is when you're involved, Nigel.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, very quickly, we're going to talk about Venom, because I know last week we covered it in gratuitous detail to the point we spoilt the entire film.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We did put a spoiler warning.
There was a massive spoiler warning at the thing. It was like one of those cheap escorts that you see driving down the street, the high street, making all the noise with this shitty spoiler on it because they think they can get up to 110 miles an hour.
For our American friends, an escort in the UK is a Ford Escort. It's a car.
Yeah, it's a
not
shit car.
The, you know, brothel type.
Yeah.
Because that would be weird.
That would be weird, yeah, fitting a spoiler to a fucking...
You've got an escort from a brothel.
And then riding her around at 100 miles an hour is even weirder.
With a speaker on her. Megaphone.
I've got a bone to pick with Keith about the Star Wars budgets, because in a boring afternoon at work, I worked out how much money I reckon they've made. And I'm not joking, you didn't get to see that. I don't think you were privy to that.
No idea, mate.
And then we're going to talk about the cancellation of Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and the first... I'm going to talk about the first episode of Daredevil. And so Keith is just going to poo-poo it because he is a butthole.
No,
that's
like
what buttholes
it.
Do. Okay. All right, so let's start off. Dr. O, the Ghost Monument, or Attack of the Bedsheets, as I like to call it.
Firstly, I mentioned to Keith quickly about the audio and the theme tune.
Yes.
Is that more to your liking now?
The intro
I
titles.
I thought it was alright, actually. I
like
it.
I kind of like the intro titles. They're not very Doctor Who-ish, but they are spectacular, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You do look at it and go, ooh, pretty.
I like the intro, but they missed one beat of having her face appear.
No, they didn't always have the face. The very first series of Doctor Who in black and white never had the face.
I thought it
was
right.
Tom Baker's didn't have the face either.
But we've got the music, and the music's very old school. Almost, it's very much gone sort of paying homage to the originals. I like
what you
that.
Want, right?
I liked that.
It's what you want.
Yeah. I also like a big orchestral
An
version
orchestra.
Of it. I like that. But this isn't very orchestral, but it's quite cool. I
what
kind
was that
of like
musical
the
instrument that it was around in the 80s, I think, where you got like a pole and your hand round it and you wobble and it goes wee 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 wee.
That's, what do you call it?
I can't remember the name of it.
Theremin or something like that.
Something like that, yeah. Isn't that what they played the original Doctor Who?
Yes, that was one of the things. Delia Derbyshire was playing around with lots of different stuff to get lots of different sounds to make it sound alien.
It is a weird instrument, if you can call it an instrument. It did sound a little bit like that.
Yeah.
So, no, it did, the episode. Yeah. I thought that would appeal to you because you've always complained about the startup music, whereas I've never been bothered.
Peter Capaldi's Wailing Cat wasn't good. The title sequence was gorgeous. I love the title sequence. Yeah. But
they stole that off a YouTube guy.
Yeah, and the guy was very happy to give it to him, which is quite cool.
Hell yeah. Take the inspiration from fans. Why not?
Yeah, they had this tone in there, which I describe as a wailing cat, which I really didn't like about it.
No, you're absolutely right.
So what about this episode? Did you like the way it started?
I loved the episode. I just think they missed. They could have had a nice little South Park Easter egg in there. You know, you're a towel.
I've no idea, mate.
I watched it and it was good, but it felt like something a writer would come up with after they're burnt out.
And
episode in. Seriously, describe to me the episode, because the episode was like this. They land on the planet, they go on a boat for a bit, they go in a tunnel for a bit, get attacked by some sheets for a bit, and they find a TARDIS with some other people who are doing the same. Yeah?
I thought Art Maddox's character was underused.
No, he's not underused. He's going to return.
Is that the bloke with the cigar?
No, the Art Malik character was the one running the competition.
The hologram.
Yeah. Because whatever it is, I know we said, we're not having a long series arc or whatever, but it's going to circle around the Stenza. Yeah, the Stenza are going to be the bad guys.
The timeless child that they mentioned. They mentioned several things in there that they very, very blatantly didn't clear up at the end of the episode. So the Stenza, sort of, we're going to see more of them. The timeless child, and I think Art Malik's character is coming back, because you don't cast an actor like that in a role like that and not bring him back. But actually, going forward, the first episode I was a bit meh about. This episode to me was a lot better. I think it gave the companions a bit more to do, a bit more time to shine. I quite like Bradley Walsh's granddad character. I quite like him.
I like the bit where the lad goes, it's time to fight fire with fire, picks up a rifle and shouts, Call of Duty, yo! And runs out. I'll play Call of Duty, you know. He's like, pow, 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 pow. How the fuck do you reload?
So the kid with dyspraxia, who they demonstrated couldn't ride a bike, against these things were called sniper bots, yeah?
They couldn't shoot for shit.
Shoot, this is like...
My son...
Stormtrooper fucking reference.
I was watching it with my kids, and they went... They literally said that. They go, oh, they're stormtroopers. I went, yeah, they're robots as well, so they should be able to hit a target, right?
They should have made out that they were rusting or damaged or something.
They've not been used for so long.
Just to help sell it to you, because if it was like kind of...
Targeting system's off because there's a bit of sand.
Yeah, the thing's been left in the thingy with no maintenance. You go, it makes sense, but...
Yeah, nobody's been here for so long because the planet's been shifted off alignment on purpose, apparently, so nobody can find it.
Yeah, and then the acetylene fields. I don't want to sound rude or anything, yeah? And the acetylene explosion would still go downward as well as upward and to the sideways. So they should have had it so they were all a little singed or suffocated as the air gets sucked out, as the vacuum happens, as the explosion settles itself out. Not that I've blown anyone up.
And they didn't really dig a hole, did they? They were shuffling their feet a little bit.
That didn't make any sense.
And it was only in like a small area beneath their feet. They didn't sort of make it long enough for their body. If you saw them sort of digging out and moving backwards at the same time, you can almost understand that. But they didn't.
What do they call? They called them the remnants. That's what they were called. The bedsheet monsters.
The bedsheets.
The bedsheet monster called the remnants. All you needed, I'll be honest with you, was about 12 close pegs. You could have taken care of all of them. 12 close pegs and a washing line. They're defeated. Forget Daleks instead. I watched it. I enjoyed it, but it felt very. I've listened to a lot of Big Finish audios, and I don't sound rude or anything. Big Finish audios are quality writing's not as much as it is for TV, and this was below a Big Finish audio. Actually, saying that, some really good fucking Big Finish audios.
I don't know if I agree. I thought it was quite a good episode. I thought it was Chris Sinable's best episode he's ever written.
The thing with it is that in the first episode felt soulless. Yeah. No, like, do you remember watching Torchwood? And for some reason, you've got Cardiff, which is occupied by hundreds of thousands, about a couple hundred thousand people. Yeah. But for some
and
reason.
And lots of gay aliens. Lots of gay aliens.
Anyway, you only got the feeling that only seven people existed in Cardiff. Yeah?
Yeah.
And then they did the same in the first episode. And I know this one was supposed to be Desolation, which matched. But it just feels like there is no world outside this. Where every other Doctor Who always gave you the feeling that there was always something around the next corner.
I think you're meant to feel that in this
on that one. They're you are, but it doesn't. It's.
I get what you mean by the first episode. The second episode, I think that was intentional.
It was because it was a place of fucking desolation for a start. But it was like when you spoke to the two people about their personalities, they felt like very stock personalities. Half my family's in hiding and the other half are on the run, yeah? And it's like, kind of, I've heard that before. Oh, I don't care about anyone unless about myself. And I'm like, can you do something to extend these characters beyond? Because they're not good enough to be stereotypes. But they're like, they're shallow. Fucking shallow.
Yeah, there wasn't
they disappeared at the end, and it wasn't a case of, oh my God, I wonder what happened to them. Was it? You didn't give a shit. You were like, where's the TARDIS?
Yeah.
It was more important.
They left and you're like, okay.
Because the TARDIS was a character that hadn't been in the episode, more important. Go figure. And the TARDIS design. The TARDIS design is terrible.
Yeah.
I didn't agree with you.
It looks like a hippie's crystal kind of thing. If you ever go into the like kind
crystal
of
meth.
No, like, if you go into, like, if you've ever been, I don't know if you've ever been into, like, kind of hippie meditation rooms, and they've got all the crystals and the candles. That's what it fucking looked like.
Did you see the shape of the crystals over the control room?
Shape of the crystals over the control room?
Yeah, over the control console.
What were the shape of the crystals over the control console?
They are a kind of archway, which is exactly the same as Paul McGann's one and only episode.
No, Paul McGann was, it was a whole thing that, it was fed into the top of the center console, and then there was a tube to contain what was what was supposed to be the bit where the power for the TARDIS runs through. Yeah? They've got no containment over that. Nitpick, pedantic thing to say. It looks like I could dissolve it in water.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a lush bomb bath. I didn't like that.
I preferred Capaldi's TARDIS, but I didn't dislike it.
Hang on a second, Capaldi had the best TARDIS out of every TARDIS that's ever been. He had the best TARDIS. Shame he didn't have the best stories to go with that TARDIS.
Yeah.
But he had the best TARDIS. If you go back through all the originals and the one from the films with Peter Cushing and the one that they did back in the 90s, still a better looking TARDIS.
I think this episode had more of a sense of fun about it. I like Jodie Whittaker. I do, and I think
I think Jodie Whittaker is suffering from the same problem with Capaldi had. He needs stuff to challenge the actor, to push the actor a little, because at the moment, because she hasn't got much, because the stories are soulless as I described them, she hasn't got anything to push her to make her become distinct, because she's still, in my eyes, not the Doctor. But like I said before, it took to the Mummy on the Orient Express for Capaldi to become the Doctor. So, you know, it takes some time. Yeah, I believe that she's the Doctor, but I believe she's doing a David Tennant impression. She's just not got the stupid tones and the gurning, which is not a bad thing, I'll be honest with you. So until she gets pushed...
I see her as the Doctor now. I do. I think she had more to do in this episode. She had more... She was more Doctor-like.
More thinking and...
I can see loads of people as a Doctor, but there's a point that they become the Doctor. Yeah?
Yeah, I get your point.
There's a bit where you go, this person's the Doctor. I'm fucking on board with this. Let's get this out. And because of the writing is not very challenging, and it's, as I said, it's going to come back to it being shallow. And next week we've got Racism is Bad as an episode.
Yeah, I know. I saw that and just drained. It's about Rosa Parks.
Yeah.
It's a blatant BBC diversity episode. And
it's annoying because the actress they got to play Rosa Parks, I actually like. She played the bitchy cop in Sherlock, and I actually like her as an actor. And it's like, this is it, as long as this is not as shallow as the other one. They can do it, but Russell T Davies could have pulled it off. Moffat could have pulled it off, but I don't think Chibnall can pull it off, even though he's not writing it. But he hasn't got a senior writer writing it, or even a historian. So I think it's maybe our first dud.
It might be, but we'll see. We'll see. I have to admit, I did cringe when they said Rosa Parks.
Yes.
We'll see what happens.
It's.
I'm not judging it until I've seen it. To be fair, yeah. I've got to be fair. So I'm not going to prejudge. I'll just see what happens. I didn't mind the episode as a whole. I thought she had bits in there where she was, you know, really, you know, Doctor-like.
Yeah, but she needs to do something to be the Doctor. If that doesn't, as a grand action, that does it. And when we're finished with this, I'll go through all the bits where I go, I'm on board with the Doctor. I'll show you those bits, and you can go. I can see where you'll see where I'm coming from.
One thing I will say is I've never been so happy to see the TARDIS, because I thought, oh, we're not going to have 10 episodes of Search for the fucking TARDIS. So that was what I was quite glad about.
Yeah, I was pleased that the TARDIS was found near the end of the episode, and they didn't do the eternal line of, yes, it's bigger on the inside. They didn't actually say that. They sort of went, yeah, this is a ship.
Yeah, it's a bit... Yeah.
No, she called it dimension engineering, and Bradley Walsh goes, "You can't engineer dimensions." She goes, "You can't," which I thought was quite a good line. No, it was quite good. The only thing I noticed, the thing that I don't like about the TARDIS set is it's got the whole of the interior of the TARDIS before you get of the blue box part of it before you get it. So it's not just the double doors; you're walking into the whole thing.
Do you know the funny thing is? That was the one bit I was okay with.
I thought it was a bit weird.
I was like, yeah, that's fine. That makes sense.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, when you go into the TARDIS, yeah.
There's a corridor.
Firstly, is the doors open outwards, right? Which they don't.
That door opened inwards.
They all open it. Doctor Who's TARDIS has always opened inwards, yeah?
Yeah, hers did.
Yeah, and it's a mistake, yeah? And they sometimes pick up on the mistake, but... where the door opens inwards, yeah, that would open into the actual TARDIS, yeah? But what they've got is they've got the whole of the blue box, yeah? So it opens into the blue box, and then you step from what would be the final wall into the TARDIS itself.
Okay, yep. And so they didn't have that in this one?
Yeah, and the downside...
It has it in this one, but it's the first time they've done that. Or, you know, when you see... You only just see the double doors, and then it's the TARDIS set. But here they've basically created the whole box. I think it's
that's all right. It's fine. That's all right, isn't it? That's how it's meant to be, right?
Yeah.
So why? That's not a problem.
Their version of the roundels, I really don't like. The roundels? It looks like the set fell, it would decapitate someone.
What roundels, sir?
Right, when you come to the set, they've got like these round bits, yeah, which are like two interlocking circles, like an arrow up and an arrow down. That's the best way I could describe it. And instead of it being like smoothed out, it's just like castle-like and jagged.
The BBC released some sort of high-res, more in-depth pictures of it. And the stairs, or the stairs that you go up, in between the sort of steps, they've got lights. And the lights are the modern sort of Gallifreyan writing. That looks quite cool. That bit looks quite cool. Because I kind of like the modern Gallifreyan.
But we didn't see that.
You don't see that on the show, but if you log on to the BBC News website, there's high-res images of it, and that's quite cool.
Okay.
But no, I can see why people don't like it. I didn't mind it too much, but I can see why people don't like the crystals. I get it.
It's, okay, so I would grade it, I'll probably grade it a 5. Episode
that's harsh. It's at least a 7.
You know how my rules of grading work, don't you? Something completely average gets a 5.
You're wrong and everybody else is right. So is that how you?
No, no. It's like if you want to measure something, a bit of fucking a bit of granularity in what you're measuring helps.
But you gave the previous. Oh no, you gave the previous episode a 4, didn't you?
Yeah.
So it's got better then.
Oh, it has. Yes, it has. Sorry, man. It has got better. But I still, it's not gripping.
Oh, I enjoyed it, but I can see your point.
It's not gripping. Okay. All right. So
I don't know. For me, it's a little bit higher than that.
Well, no, that's fine.
Yeah, because I'm.
You haven't digested as much Doctor Who as I have.
No, I'd probably put that as a 7. It could have been probably a little bit more exciting. And like you say, the two people who scooped them, as they call it.
Yeah. They couldn't use tractor beam or transported.
They didn't. They used a grabber thing, didn't they? But hey, I don't know. Yeah, I agree. They were a little bit soulless. And you, even though they did talk a little bit about their family, matey boy with the mum in the tree and jumping out, breaking legs and all that sort of stuff. And Bradley Walsh made a quip, didn't he? It was a decent quip. Can't remember it though. Very memorable. But yeah, I think because it wasn't too memorable, the episode, I've seen it twice because I watched it with the wife and then I watched it with the kids. So yeah, I thought it was all right. Better than what, in my opinion, better than what you think. Probably a 7. Bit better than average for me. Not. It could be so much better, but it's not at the moment.
So in other words, he's wrong.
No, I'm completely right, because this time next year, you'll be going, you fucking called it.
What about you, Keith?
I would agree. I thought it was a 6 or a 7. I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was watchable. I thought it was a much better episode than the first one. I watched it twice as well, and I enjoyed it. So, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Okay. All right, so you want to talk about Venom for a bit?
Just briefly. I really enjoyed it. I don't understand why the critics hated it. I thought it was funny. It was entertaining. I think it could have done better if it had been an R-rated movie.
I've got a conspiracy behind this. Do you know why?
Why?
Because it wasn't Disney. Seriously, I think they've got the critics have got a hard-on for Disney. Because it's like Return of the Jedi. Oh my god, it got amazing ratings. The fucking audience walked away and went, what's this shit? Yeah?
Yeah.
I do think it's because it's a non-Disney superhero movie, and it's like, well, no, we can't have that. Because they do the same with DC. Sometimes it's deserved with DC. But, yeah, It's I think it's the fact that it's a non-Disney film. It's not production-wise and editing-wise, needs a bit of reworking to make it run right. Because I felt that was kind of lacking in it. But overall, it was a fucking riot.
I enjoyed it. It was fun. And I like, the only thing I'm sort of like slightly pissed off about is I wish that, I can't wait for the next one because I really want to see Woody Harrelson as Carnage. That was brilliant. Brilliant casting.
Yeah his wig was made him look like fucking Sideshow Bob though.
Yeah, I know, he did. He is meant to be a bit of a psycho, so make him look psycho, great.
He did look very psycho. He does that so well, Woody, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's, what do you call it? I think, but you have to remember that Carnage is Spider-Man's version of the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
But they stripped out all of the stupid shit that the Joker does, dressing up as a clown and having the chattering teeth and the bombs with painted multicolors and all that stuff. And they just stripped it out and found out this is the bit that people are scared of. Let's just have this. And then they go, and then assign it to a really powerful symbiote and then give it to a nutcase. And that's what they did. Yeah. And that's why. See, the thing is that in the comics, there's a big thing on the fact that when Venom talks about Venom, Venom refers to itself as we, because it refers to itself as Eddie and Venom, because they disagree on stuff.
Yeah.
And Carnage, bit of symbiote, doesn't refer to itself as we.
So Carnage is a symbiote.
Carnage is the symbiote mix they call it the Carnage symbiote and Cletus Kasady.
How did that symbiote arrive then? Are they going to show this, do you reckon?
In the comics, Eddie breaks out of prison with the Venom symbiote, but the Venom symbiote leaves a bit of itself behind, which then grows into the Carnage symbiote.
Oh, so it can sort of reproduce. Mutate into something. So
every generation, the next generation of symbiote is supposed to be stronger than the previous generation.
Okay.
So
it mutates.
Yeah, so it mutates and then becomes stronger and attaches to the host. But the Carnage symbiote refers to itself as I, because both Cletus and the symbiote are in complete unison. And I don't know how they're going to sell that part off, is the fact that they do all these psychotic things and it's because they both think it's great. And that's going to be a weird one. I don't know how they're going to sell that one, because there was a big, big thing in the comics.
Well, they've got a bit of, say, legwork, but they've got to show you how Carnage becomes Carnage, in my opinion.
Yeah.
As a new person to this, you've got to do that.
The question is after that interview, does Eddie leave a bit of Venom behind?
Yeah, exactly. Does something happen?
So yeah, the thing was really good. I get a little pissed off when people go and they compare it to a 90s film, because it's not like any of the things. The closest film is to Ant-Man and the Wasp and Ant-Man. If you wanted to put it next to a set of films that's closer to that. It's got a level of comedy in there to keep you interested. It's very kind of small focused on just the characters, and stuff happens. So I don't know. It's going to be fun to see how fucking Disney react. The downside is that Sony are going to try and push out other Spider-Man supervillains. So instead of just going to the next phase, which is naturally, let's get Venom 2 on board. Let's give these guys a long time to write the script before we figure out the production. So you've got from now, guys, until July next year to get some nice script together. And then we can argue about it for 3 months after, settle on a script, pop it all in place, and away we go. They're going to try and do Morbius the Living Vampire. Sounds very weird. With Jared Leto. I think actually looking at the Morbius character and Jared Leto, they're perfect match. Just for looks. I'm not sure about, depending how he wants to put his spin on it. Because there's a guy who gets mutated into a vampire rather than becomes a vampire. But here comes a twist, yeah? If you want to do Morbius the Living Vampire inside a Marvel universe of sorts, kind of need Blade. And the reason you need Blade is Morbius isn't a vampire vampire. He hasn't been bitten by a vampire and turned into a vampire. He fucked up his genes. Yeah? So he had his genes crossed over with a bat during an accident.
So this is Blade, as in...
We're talking about Blade as in Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes Blade, which I love that film.
Yes.
Right, and so that is... What are you saying? Is that a DC thing?
No, it's that's Marvel.
Marvel?
That's Marvel, yeah. He was in Spider-Man the cartoon. Tracking down Morbius the Living Vampire. Because he thought he was a regular vampire.
There is rumours that Blade's coming back. But I think...
But Blade's Marvel, MCU now.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Rumours are he's MCU rather than Sony's sort of spin-off universe.
Who made the first three Blade films in? Was that Sony?
Sony with Davey S. Goya. So yeah, I think it was Sony. Sure, it was Sony. New Line Cinema, sorry. It was New Line Cinema.
I did like those films. I thought they were good.
They were good. They were the best. It's like they go, oh, when Black Panther came along, oh, we haven't had a black superhero film. Because the first fucking proper superhero film that everyone agreed that they liked was Blade. Blade. What colour is it?
Danny Jewel Jones was in one of those as well, wasn't he? One of
Danny
the Blade
John
movies.
Jules was in the second Blade, as the one of the vampire hunters that were hunting down the... I can't remember, but they had the special version of the virus that made them super aggressive, which was cool. Anyway, Venom, fucking awesome. Loved it. I think you loved it too.
So we've given our monkeying up punch rating out of 10. What's yours, Keith?
Yeah.
We won't tell you ours until you...
8.
Ooh. Controversial.
Controversial. See, it got 9 from me, but it lost 1 point and gained 1 point. Of bias.
Yeah,
it lost 1 point for not having Spider-Man in there, and it gained a point for having Venom in there and being decent.
I thought it was good. I thought it was really good, and I enjoyed it. There were a few things that I think made it not perfect, but I think it was pretty damn good. It was a really good popcorn flick.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Yeah, really enjoyed that. And yeah, like Gav said, he's watched it twice. Once before, and then he went, let's go watch it together, Nige.
Yeah, okay. So I could review it, because it was quite good. Because I've got cinema on my doorstep now. Sweet. Not literally on my doorstep. I don't walk out into the cinema.
Is it any good?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
Nice one.
It's like the Everyman in Walton.
It's got the Chandler Bing friend's chair.
Yeah. So, imagine Everyman in Walton had a baby with view. And this is the result.
Fair enough.
It's very decent and worth seeing.
I have to, have to take you to the Everyman in Walton.
Mm.
Seriously, the Everyman in Walton's fucking expensive, but it's a proper experience kind of cinema sort of thing. All right. I had a Twitter message from Gerzo saying that Keith was right.
About?
Hang on. And to which I was like, what the fuck was Keith right about? And it's like...
It's not often.
There's a lot of... We've got a lot of hours to go through. Luckily, he referenced a podcast. And it was it was about Blockbuster being really good. And I just want to say, Gerzo, have you ever returned a DVD late or a video late to Blockbuster?
I hadn't.
There's no worry about it now.
You don't have to worry about it now. I forgot to return a video to Blockbuster, but it's okay.
I had loads.
But there's some horror stories in that. So I re-listened to the podcast, and it was one where we were talking about, why the fuck has Catherine Kennedy not been fired? And Keith made the mistake of saying, oh, it's because she made her money back to cover the costs of Lucasfilm being bought. And you did. And they're your exact words. Okay? To which I was like, I don't know if this is right. So it was the afternoon at work. And I was like, I just want to do something that isn't work for the next 20 minutes. So I went online. I did a bit of research. And I worked out how much money. This is profit. This is ROAE profit. Yeah, not anything else, not turnover or gross or anything like that. How much money she actually made. Now, I went in there and I had to make a few fucking guesses in places, which wasn't fantastic. So this is just off of the films, not the merchandising or TV shows or anything like that, just the films. So what I did is I worked out that according to Box Office Mojo, they've made just shy of $5 billion on The Force Awakens, Rogue One, Last Jedi and Solo. Yeah, so it's just under $5 billion, $4.8 billion, yeah? For that, they had a production cost of just over $1 billion, okay? So that leaves you with $3 billion, yeah? Then you look at the marketing, and they said that the marketing in... This is the funny thing. They said the marketing in the US for Force Awakens was $66 million, yeah? For Force Awakens. So I went, okay, that's just in the US. So I was quite generous, and I turned around and went, well, we'll say 50 million for Rogue One worldwide, 60 for Last Jedi worldwide, 50 for Solo worldwide, and it totals up to about $250 million in spend just on marketing alone. Okay, so which then translates into the they had what was it? I've cocked this up now. So they spent a lot of money on that, yeah. And then the cinema's got to make a cut. So I made out that cinema made about 30% per ticket, yeah. So I estimated the profit margins to be about $200 million, give or take adjustments, because I was playing about with the adjustments on it. So they made about $250 million profit. Lucasfilm cost $4.1 billion to buy.
$2 billion in cash and something, and the rest in stocks.
Two billion in cash in untraceable notes. So George could spend it on whatever he wanted. So it works out that she's probably paid off about $250 million dollars from the Lucasfilm deal.
You're excluding the merchandising.
And the merchandising was an absolute fail. It lost the money.
Did it really?
I was being generous. Yes. Have you not seen? Go to YouTube and go Star Wars toys bargain bin. There are fucking hundreds of stores. This is one of the reasons that Toys R Us went out of business, because they bought all those Star Wars toys and they couldn't sell them. There was stuff left over from The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and that at the time of these places closing. And then they wind up in bargain basement things where they buy liquidated stock. No, she didn't make any money. So I put it to you, Keith. She didn't make her money back, so she must have sucked someone's dick.
No, I don't think so. I read some interesting articles, and the articles did claim that she'd made a significant amount of money.
These people don't do maths. They're journalists.
All they've done is they've said it's brought in 4.8 million.
But it depends how they cover the cost of certain things and where the cost comes out of it. Because don't forget,
No, it's not.
Because Disney has a number of companies underneath it. So it depends which company forked out the money for it. Don't forget, they gave $2 billion in cash and the rest in stocks in various Disney businesses. You are doing the maths based on one company, which Disney is not.
Keith, where do they get the money from?
They're probably... take it from those of other businesses. It's not straightforward as that. I know that because they offset costs across their various businesses.
If they offset the costs, then the money didn't come from Star Wars. It came from the Marvel Universe. It came from the Disney parks. It came from somewhere else, yeah? So if you want to do this correct, if you were investing in this, you'd want to see this stuff in isolation, yeah? If it borrowed X amount of money from this thing, you would have a line in your balance sheet between row 50 and 80 saying that you borrowed this.
Well, it would appear that the Disney bosses don't agree with your maths, because they've given her until 2020 and are very happy with the money that she's made.
She's made $250 million, Keith. That's profit.
Not according to Disney. She's made
No, Keith, right? It's $250 million profit, yeah? Now, what it is they could have got a loan out for Lucasfilm, yeah? And she could be ahead in the repayments, yeah? But she hasn't covered the cost of Lucasfilm. That is demonstrably false, yeah? But if it's like a mortgage, yeah? And she's ahead on mortgage payments, which she probably is, given the fact $250 million, not to be fucking sniffed at, yeah? But it's not the same as paying back.
And advertising stuff that they pay. Does that come directly out of film budgets? Because I didn't think it did.
It comes out, it does, but it doesn't. It doesn't come out of the production budget. It comes out as a marketing budget, yeah? So
it's typically assigned separately.
Yeah, it's assigned separately under two tasks.
But it's under the, you know, under that film, you've got a budget of, I don't know, 20 million to promote. And then you've got a production, that's in everything that, you know, building the sets, actors, scripts, directors, all that sort of production that all goes together in another pot. Although there might be sub pots under.
Do cinemas really get 30%? I thought they got less than that of the ticket rating. Is it still that high?
It depends. They must get 30%. It wouldn't be, Keith, it's 30% margin is the desired margin for everyone. Yeah. 20 to 30% is the desired margin. Yeah, I would say that some do.
Fair enough.
Especially if you go to places like Odeon.
The Everyman Cinema in Walton.
Yeah.
You've got to say that's 45 on that.
They're not that expensive, you know. They I mean, what is it, £15 a seat?
Yeah, how much is it a view in Staines?
Last time I went, a lot more.
£6 a seat.
The one we went
Where
to.
Are you getting £6 a seat?
The one we went to that's near Gareth, a new one, is only a tenner a seat. Yeah. The two cinemas in my town, they're both £16 a seat. Hmm. So it will vary between, and it will depend on the cinema on how much profit they want to make per seat.
Right, yeah. So hang on a second. So how much did you say it was a seat? You said it wasn't.
Well, the standard seats at View last time I went, I think, were between £12 and £14.
What's that say on the screen there, Keith? For the listeners who can't see what I've brought up.
Hang on, I can't see the screen at the moment. I'm looking at something else. Wow. All films for £5.99. When did they start that?
That was, I think it was the beginning of the summer season for films.
Wow. That's cheap.
I know why. Do you know why?
Why?
Because they were putting a cinema on my doorstep and they knew they had competition.
Yeah.
Ah, because they used to be double that.
Yeah, and everyone complained to the point that I might as well wait and get the Blu-ray.
Still,
yeah,
double that is only £12, whereas I've got to pay £16, regardless of the cinema I go to.
Have you got Cineworld near you, haven't you?
Cineworld and Odeon. So
Cineworld, you know. Cineworld do a great thing. You pay £17 a month and you get unlimited tickets.
Do you know what the funny thing is? They do the same at my one, which is £16.99 a month, and you can get unlimited tickets too.
Yeah.
So I'm tempted next summer season is just to buy four lots of that for 4 months to come.
Is that the new one? Is that your new one in your town? That's yeah. The did they give one. You a discount as well off refreshments? Because that's what Cineworld did. So if you were a member for a year, you got 10%, and then you got 25%. So if you got the unlimited black card, they call it, that used to give you 25% discount at concessions as well. It's fucking epic.
I think you're right there, Keith. I think I've seen that somewhere. I have considered it, but I don't get to watch
any films in
cinema that much.
Me and my wife get a sofa for a tenner here, so it's a bit different. Although you still have to stand for the national anthem here, and if you don't, you get prosecuted.
So it's exactly the same as the light.
25% off.
25% off food. Of food and drink.
That's a really good offer. Get that. Alcohol. It's worth it.
And it's £16.95 a month.
That is worth it. Because if you go and see two movies, That's it. That's it paid for.
When the summer blockbusters all kick in, I can go and watch them all. Because I think the next film that me and Nigel want to watch, which I'm going to see if I can drag him down to the cinema so we can do a review on, is Hunter Killer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I want to see that.
But my worry is that I want to see a good old-fashioned submarine film, but it's not. It's more like Call of Duty.
It'd be like Hunt for Red October. Olympus Has Fallen. Yeah.
Hunt for the Red October was a submarine movie.
Oh, it was a good submarine movie.
It was a fucking brilliant submarine movie.
It was one of the first things to employ CG.
Yep.
So, yeah. Anyway, we've got to stop gushing over our local cinemas and the deals we get. Guys, if wherever you are, go check to see that your local cinema or the cinema just a bit further out from that are doing any fucking deals, yeah? And see if you can get away with, when it comes to the summer blockbusters coming out, get a membership, yeah, and then cancel it the moment they all fucking finish, so you can go in there and watch it as many times as you like.
You'll probably find that it has to last a year. My unlimited card was a minimum of a year. I'm going to check that after,
because if that's the case, and I can do that, I'm fucking doing that.
But I tell you what, now that I know that, if I ever move back to around your area, I'm going to your cinema, because it's better than Cineworld.
Cineworld in, I don't know what I know, is the one in Felton.
Felton.
Near the MOD. Yes. Near the MOD.
Well, it was the one I go to is in my town. It was the older one's in Odeon, and to be fair, it is old and it looks old.
Yeah.
And all that sort of stuff. And it's, as soon as Cineworld opened up, it was so much better. The seats are at a nice angle, so the kids don't need to have a booster seat to sit over somebody who decides to sit in front of you.
I know what you mean.
It's at a nice angle, so even the kids at normal level can sit on a nice seat and see over the top of even tall people. So the Odeon is fairly flat, very small gradient, and so you can't really see over the top of people. Mm. They couldn't even see over the top of the back of the seats. It was such a shit gradient. So we just now go to Cineworld. And I prefer Cineworld. It's the same price as well.
We went to the Odeon one to watch the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, didn't we?
Yeah. Because the Cineworld wasn't open then.
Okay, all right. Sorry. But it goes like this, Keith, yeah? Let's just summarise it, yeah? Haven't paid back the $4 billion, but
fair enough.
But I know for a fact that Disney is the only company in the history of the world who has a bank loan whose payment terms are for them to pay him back within 100 years.
Yeah.
100 years. I was learning. I have to have a level of bookkeeping in my head for when I do stuff at work. And the tutor said that to me, and I'm like, really? Oh, I'm going to Google that. Oh, yeah. They borrowed a shit ton of money, but it's Disney. If anyone's going to pay you back, it's Disney. Okay, all right. So Marvel, Netflix, not looking good. Is it looking good? Right, hang on a second. Right. Just wait a moment. Yeah, I'm trying to do a setup, yeah? Let me finish the setup and then do it, all right?
Cool.
So, it goes like this.
Can't take him anywhere.
How can I fucking take you anywhere? This is why he only gets guest appearances on the podcast.
Fucking guest appearances.
I'm trying to pull faces at him, but I don't know if they're coming up right. Okay, so Marvel Netflix. It's not looking too good. We've apparently lost... Iron Fist and Luke Cage, or are we gaining something else? Now you can talk, Keith. Now you can talk.
So the actor Finn Jones, who played the immortal Iron Fist, put out a tweet this week saying, "Don't worry, you haven't seen the last of the immortal Iron Fist." And then
the immortal iron frying pan.
Yeah, yeah. And then Netflix are saying you shouldn't worry about us cancelling these series. The way Iron Fist second season ended, it isn't going to be
terrible.
Well, you up to you what you think. I liked it. Iron Fist season three wasn't going to be traditional. The same goes for Luke Cage. Now, my question is, are they going to split off Misty with Colleen and do, what was the name of it, Dragon?
No. They are boring people.
And I think they are. And I think we're going to get a Heroes for Hire. So I think we're going to get Luke Cage.
Just give us Heroes for Hire. They're interesting. They've got stuff.
In your opinion, unfortunately, Gareth, the rest of the world doesn't agree with you because Colleen
Keith, no.
Colleen is very popular. She is.
No, she's popular amongst a certain demographic who think they talk for everyone. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately,
if she was so popular, she would have saved Iron Fist, the TV show, wouldn't she?
I don't know.
Come on, Keith, spit it out. The answer's no. K-9 is not Doctor Who.
They've been talking about this for a while, and that's what they've been building to. They built to it in Defenders. They keep hinting it in Luke Cage. They're hinting it in the last season of Iron Fist. They're massively, massively hinting at it.
They're not interesting, Keith.
Doesn't matter whether they're interesting or not. In your opinion, I think Netflix are going to do this. I think we've lost two Marvel series, and I think we're going to gain two new ones. I think we're going to gain Heroes for Hire, and I think we're going to gain the Dragon, or whatever they're called. I can't remember the name of them.
My money says this. We're going to get Heroes for Hire,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to get Blade.
I don't think they'll give Blade to Netflix. Because the other thing is that the Disney are just putting the contract on Netflix and move it all over to their own streaming service.
Yeah, because apparently they're doing a Loki series. That means Loki's alive.
I've heard that rumor. Yep.
And they're doing a Scarlet Witch series, and we know that anyone who got snapped is coming back.
So I don't know if they'll get a Scarlet Witch series. I don't know if she'll sign up to do a TV series, but maybe they will. I mean, considering how much Disney's thrown at Star Wars TV series, and all we've got so far for that is one screenshot of a guy that looks awfully like Boba Fett.
You mean a Mandalorian?
Yeah, that's the name of the series. So,
I
can see why last week when they announced they cancelled Iron Fist, you could understand it was their lowest rating and most critically panned series. But Luke Cage season two got high ratings and was quite well received.
Right, Keith, are you sure it got high ratings? Because Netflix never released any data.
Yeah, but people extract data.
Netflix is in a fantastic position that they have over everyone else. They can tell which bits you skip through. They can tell you which bits you go back and rewatch. They can say how long you've watched it or whether you disappeared off out to the fucking kitchen. Stuff like that, yeah? Their analytics, I would have a boner over to try and get hold of to go and analyse stuff, yeah? They can tell you the best episodes of Star Trek. They don't give that stuff away.
They genuinely don't give that stuff away. They usually get within an idea of how well-performing Netflix series are. There generally is some figures. They might not be 100% accurate, but people have a good guess of how well they're performing.
No, you can't guess.
Yes, they do, Gareth.
Keith, big data, which is Netflix, yeah?
Yeah.
Guessing, yeah? Which is probably wrong unless you're in Netflix.
Most people have been reasonably well on of whether a series is going to last on Netflix or not. And Luke Cage, nobody saw coming.
Yeah, but if there was a remember that Netflix removed the thumbs up, thumbs down and the star rating from it too.
I think we're getting a Heroes for Hire series. That's what I think's going.
Yeah, I think we're getting a Heroes for Hire series. I don't think we're getting a Colleen and What's It series.
And it's called Daughters of the Dragon.
I don't think we're going to get that.
seriously, I think we get Heroes for Hire, but Heroes for Hire is going to be different. Heroes for Hire is going to be for 1 hour and a bit episodes.
You reckon?
Yep. They'll Maybe. Shrink it down so the actors can be free to do what they want, and then they can pay them less and do less, and then make a big event thing out of it.
I am surprised that they cancelled Luke Cage, because, again, it seems to have been better received than Jessica Jones. And Jessica Jones season 2 was dire. So I thought Luke Cage season 2 was considerably better than Jessica Jones season 2. So I think this hints at them doing something else. And I would not be surprised if there is a Daughters of the Dragon series in the making. It just doesn't surprise me, because that's the way it's been going.
No, I don't think they'll do it.
Well, we will see. We will see. I am looking forward to Punisher season 2. So far, Daredevil season 3. Meh.
I watched the first one, and it's set up so much stuff. Have you not worked out what the fuck's going on in the?
Yeah, I've seen the first
very
five.
First episode. All right,
I've seen
the
first
thing,
five
right?
episodes, and it still isn't right. really.
Hang
good.
On,
I'm not
hang on,
like, ooh.
Hang on, hold on a second. First episode, yeah. Yeah, flashback to Daredevil telling Karen that he's Daredevil. Yeah? To which we go, oh, Karen's dead. That's the first thing. Thanks for telling us that. And then her telling him, oh, he goes, I don't kill, that's not me. He's killing fucking Fisk and Bullseye. So there's two people there dead. Yeah? And then the Rocky-style montage as he's sorting himself out. Where he's fighting in the fucking basement of the church. There's stuff there. There is stuff there, and it's going to pay off.
It hasn't paid off yet. Bullseye's turned up, but Bullseye's a copper, and we're five episodes in. Yeah, Bullseye's a copper, and I know exactly which way where it's going, but it's five episodes in, and it's meh. And again. It's 13 episodes this season, again, which I think is way too long. No red suit again, so he's back in his black and white thing, and he's just been a dick, to be honest. I'm almost rooting for Fisk and bloody...
Yeah, but hang on a second. Hold on a second. He explains in biblical terms why he's a dick.
Doesn't stop
he
him
does.
Being a dick.
Tells the story of fucking Job.
Yeah,
and that explains
he's
why he's
dick.
Being a dick.
And to be honest, I'm a bit meh about it all. I thought season 2 of Daredevil so far was considerably
yeah, but
better
you think,
than this.
You thought fucking Colleen and Misty was going to be the fucking greatest thing since sliced fucking bread. And I'll be honest with you, the Luke Cage bar fight they had, yeah, could have just been them really drunk beating up on some strangers, which would have been hilarious and so character building. Okay,
let me finish watching Daredevil. Episode. I'm five episodes in, and it's look.
Yeah, but
you know me at the moment. I'm not into all this dark and dour stuff, and at the moment it's very dark. It's very down. Fisk is just sitting in a room, not really being Fisk.
Daredevil is Keith. Daredevil is supposed to be dour and down. It's what do you call it? It's noir. It's black. Yeah. It's supposed to be. That's the one. It's one thing that's kind of synonymous with him, like it is with Batman. Yeah.
Yeah, but Batman's more fun.
Batman's not Batman. Batman is he's supposed to have a touch of bastard about him.
Yeah, and he does in the Dark Knight. But look, you watch it and form your own opinion. At the moment, I'm bored. I'm bored of it at the moment. Nothing seems to be happening. There's a bit where he goes into the prison to find out how Fisk got out, why he was let out and what's going on and stuff. And he works out that Fisk has got an ulterior motive, which was kind of fucking obvious from the start. But beyond that, that was quite a cool scene, but very cleverly shot, because it's all, again, what Daredevil's very good at is doing the one camera shots where they go in and out of rooms and stuff, and they follow him throughout. Those single camera shots are very, very clever. And it does have that that hole in the prison scene, and that's very clever. But I'm not feeling it at the moment. I'm not getting into it. Maybe that's just me. But I got into Daredevil season two. I'm not getting into this.
Okay.
Although the nun is his mum, right?
I don't think the nun is his mum.
Because in the comics she was. His mum was a nun. Maybe. Yeah, but in the comics, his mum was a nun.
Was she? Okay, I'll have to check that.
At least I think she was.
Okay.
So carry on.
I'm gonna go finish watching it. Then I'll come back and correct you. Because that's what I do. That's my lot in this life. When I was created, they went, Keith needs to be corrected on a regular basis by someone, just to make sure he doesn't become a dictator like Hitler. We won't make that mistake twice. And then they turned around and looked at Stalin and went, okay, maybe we did do it twice. No, not a third time.
Mussolini.
No, maybe not fourth time, fifth time, sixth time, tenth time. look, we'll just put people like Gareth in the world to keep Keith, people like Keith, from forming their own political party and trying to take over the world using Netflix.
See you later.
I'm picking on you, Keith. I ain't lying. And it's only... Do you know why I'm picking on you? Have you looked at your Twitter feed recently?
No.
Go look at your Twitter feed, and then you can know why I'm picking on you. And then you can text me back and go, ha, 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 like, I know you will.
What are you talking about?
Go look at your Twitter. Go look at your Twitter feed. Right. Anyway, while he's looking at his Twitter feed, something you want to say, Nigel?
No, I've not watched The Walking Dead this week.
Oh, fuck yes, The Walking Dead.
I've missed it. I know it came out Monday and we are now on the weekend, but like I said in the previous podcast, it's not grabbed me. I was incredibly annoyed by it because of the absolute nonsense that was going on in it, which didn't make any sense. And I even forgot it was on. It's recorded and everything, however... I've not seen it. I think you've seen it. But
I saw it, and I'll be honest with you. What the fuck? Seriously, what the fuck?
Nothing's going on.
Yeah, nothing is going on.
I could have figured that out, because they try to do something a little bit dramatic in the first episode to get you gripped. Then they've sort of done nothing. So I might watch it when I get home. I'll make gaffes at the moment, but
yeah. Do you know if you have the term second screening, where you're watching a film but you're actually looking at your phone?
Yeah,
yeah. That's probably the best thing to do there. Keith, can you see the screen?
Yes.
Can you see that?
Yes.
Can you now see that?
Gareth was wrong.
Oh shit. This is why I'm picking on him this week. It's all down to Gerzo. And then this one here.
Keith, I'm terribly sorry. Yeah. Clearly you've never met Mr. Keith. You had to apologise. Fuck you.
I have no idea what they're talking about.
That's some long history between me and Keith in his youth.
Gareth being a cock.
Where he embarrassed me in a fucking pizza.
He didn't eat the entire buffet.
No, just imagine this, yeah? There's like a group of you, there's like 12 of you on three tables, yeah? You're trying to sort your orders out. People want to cross orders across the fucking tables. Everything is going wrong. So Keith, in his wisdom, stands up, picks up a bit of promotional material, walks over to the rather pretty waitress and says to her, I want that one! Not explaining any details or anything like that. To which I apologise to her.
That's a very Matt Lucas thing to do. Oh, that one.
He did. He was Matt Lucas before Matt Lucas did it. Do you know what the funny thing was?
Oh, that one.
Do you know what the funny thing was? She gave me a fucking telephone number on the receipt. Yeah, I was seeing someone at the time, so naturally I threw it away. It wasn't the wife. It was before the wife.
Before wife. Oh, long before wife.
This is when I was trim.
Oh, back in trim.
When I was trim and I was proper trim. But yes, yes, Keith. That's what I was expecting you to come back with. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then did you see the other one? It's not a fucking Quinjet. It's an
F-16. Yes, I know.
Okay, you should know the difference between an F-16 and a Quinjet.
I do, but I shouldn't, because I have no idea. But it's not when she's walking
when
on
you're the thing. When they're in the trailer. Shot. There's yes. a wall behind her. Can't be a fucking Quinjet if it's got a wall behind her. Look at the picture
when
of the Hulk in the other picture.
When the movie comes out next year, not she's a in a fucking Quinjet. I'm going to just rub it in. Something funny. I will buy my time.
No, you won't.
Anyway, can you end this?
I like being in the middle of a proper nerd fight.
Nerd fight!
Nerd fight! End the podcast!
It's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
We'll catch you in the next episode. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Monkey Nut Punch.